Welcome to another conversation with FYD Life. My name is Kaylee and I have the privilege of being joined today by Belinda Molocco. Hi, Belinda.
Hello, Kaylee. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Well, thanks.
Thanks for joining us today. We're going to be talking about, you know, a difficult topic, but something that I'm sure will be very relatable to many people. Mm. We're going to be talking about how we journey through separation and divorce well. We'll do our best through it.
Yeah.
And so thank you for being open with us today and helping us chat through this subject. But do you want to just share a bit about yourself, a bit about your journey, just for all everyone that's listening to get to know you a bit more today?
Yeah, sure. So, Kaylee, I am a mother of two daughters. We as a family went through separation and then divorce starting in 2018. And I have learned an incredible amount through that journey. And I was lucky to be given some great counsel very early on, and I'm hoping I can share some of that with others today.
Yeah, beautiful. I appreciate that. Well, let's dive in. So, a big question to start with: how do we navigate this season well, if that is possible? How do you maintain, you know, respect for your partner, ex-partner, and journey through it well without, you know, I guess getting all the emotions, bitter, cynical, those things. I mean, have you learnt some things through how to, navigate through this journey well?
Yes, I certainly have. And I think it's important to say from the outset that there are all sorts of relationship breakdowns.
Right.
And there'll be some people listening who will not have the opportunity to make the choices that I've had the opportunity to make.
Yeah.
So, for example, divorce or separation has been put upon them. They weren't expecting it. They haven't had time to prepare.
Right.
Or, you know, there could be so many situations. And for those people listening, I would say don't take on one iota of guilt about what you couldn't do.
Yeah, great.
If there's one thing you take away from today that you've got control over now and can implement, then that's wonderful. And if there's not, that's okay too, because there are all sorts of separations and divorces.
Yeah,
but for those who have the opportunity to make some choices and prepare and set the family up well, be a leader through this time of transition for your family, then I hope there are some great tips you can take away. And one of those is taking the long-term view.
Yeah, right. That's good.
So it's very easy to be in the moment and let the frustrations that have led to this relationship breakdown impact the way you go forward. But if you can take the long-term view right from the beginning and set your family up for success, then you will reap the rewards later on down the track.
Yeah,
and there are a couple of things I would say.
Yeah.
The first is taking the high road. You know, we've all heard Michelle Obama say, they take the low road, you take the high road.
Yeah.
And you can both, both partners can take the high road.
Yeah,
and if both partners are not taking the high road, then just one can take the high road, and that can be you. And part of that is generosity of spirit.
Yeah, wow, beautiful.
And to make this transition work, at least one person needs some generosity of spirit, understanding, forgiveness, and putting the kids first to help get to a point where your family is thriving at the other side.
Yeah, it's really good. So when you talk about seeing the long-term picture, are you talking about, like, for your own life, for your children's life? Like, just talk us through that a little bit more. What does that mean?
Yes. So it's really about both, because, you know, as a a leader of self, you have the opportunity to help the whole team win.
Yeah, right.
That's your ex-partner, that's you, and that's most definitely your children.
Yeah.
You know, an example is, let's say your partner is an amazing mother or father. You haven't been able to get it together in your relationship. You haven't been able to resolve differences. But the one thing that you can still encourage and support is that that partner is an amazing mother or father your children.
That's so good. Yes.
And so, again, leading your family through this, there is an opportunity for you to always build that other parent up.
Yeah, it's really good.
In front of your children, but also to them. You know, encourage them along the way, and you know, it might be that, you know, there was a discussion with the kids and the kids said, you know, Dad said this to me and it was a great thing.
Yeah.
You know, just being able to say, I heard what you said to our daughter.
Yeah.
And that was awesome. You're such a great dad.
Yeah. Wow,
and beautiful. It's about not letting what fell down, broke down in your relationship impact the kids.
Yeah.
And also impact the confidence of the other parent with the kids.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah. My parents are divorced. I'm from a divorced home. How important is it to be that united front together, even though you're separating, your divorce, but you still got a co-parent? It's difficult, I'm sure, but how have you navigated that co-parenting together and having a united front?
Yes, it's tricky, and the reason why it's tricky is small children, by their very nature, will find the easiest way to get the next treat or the next thing.
Right.
And so one way they do that, whether you're together or apart,
they play you off each other.
Exactly. And the minute they realise that that's something that they can do in a separation or divorce situation, it is the first little opening of the door to potentially a destructive relationship amongst the entire family.
Right.
So shut the door immediately. So if my children came to me and said, and they're older now, but if they came to me and said, Dad said this and or Dad did this and he won't let me do this and da-da-da-da-da, my response is always, I'm sure there's a really good reason why Dad did that. Tell me a little bit more about the situation. Tell me.
Yeah.
Ha, I would have done exactly the same thing. Go, Dad.
Yeah.
You know, so we shut that down immediately. And then if there were situations where my ex-partner and I had the opportunity to discuss this, we would actually say to each other, I will never put you down in front of the children.
Yeah,
I will always build you up.
Yeah, wow.
And the same in front of our friends, and I can tell you a story about that in a moment. But, you know, I'd love you to do the same. And that's how it's worked, and I feel really lucky about that. And I think also letting your children hear you say positive things about the other parent when they're overhearing.
Yes, right.
It's got to be authentic.
Yeah.
But, you know, and it's authentic if that's actually what you do all the time.
Yes.
And you only ever build the other parent up. And again, it's about putting what broke your relationship down and recognizing again that not all relationships are the same or separations or divorces are the same. But in a situation like this, can put aside what didn't work for us and what we tried so hard to fix and couldn't. And then focusing on how we support the kids.
Yeah.
So for example, we would still buy each other Mother's and Father's Day presents and get the kids to help us choose that. And I remember when the very first Father's Day after we split up, my daughters were with their dad that day, and we would have normally done something like pancakes or, you know, that kind of thing. And the girls couldn't have done that without me.
Yeah.
So I went to the bakery and I got a whole bunch of beautiful croissants and I, you know, had said to the girls, open the door for me, you know, I'll be there at this time.
Yeah.
Get up and open the door and I'll give it to you. Mm. So, you know, they were able to do that.
Yeah,
and if the other person has a partner, you need to be a little bit more respectful around that, and we can get to that later. But in this situation, there was no one, and so the girls just needed a little bit of support to show their dad that they appreciated him on Father's Day. And so again, that's the generosity of spirit, and he does the same for me.
Very cool. Love that. So let's talk practicals. Obviously divorce is complex when there's children involved. How did you, if you don't mind sharing, navigate telling your children that you were separating, divorcing, and what tips and tools could you give to people listening who are potentially going through that part at the moment?
So important to say that if you do have the opportunity to see a child psychologist before you tell the children, I would encourage
That's
you
great.
To do that.
Yeah.
My ex-partner and I, we went to see a child psychologist to discuss how we could tell them what we needed to be thinking about. And I cried the whole way through the appointment.
Yes.
And then it took us 3 years to come to terms with the fact that to actually tell them. I couldn't do it. And so we just hung on in this completely dysfunctional situation, which was both of our faults. Yeah, it just took us a really long time to tell them. But eventually we got there. And so what came out of the child psychology appointment was the tip about a great resource, and I'm going to tell everyone what that resource is. It's an online resource called relation-online.com.au. And it's an interactive program for separating parents. And it's helpful for both high conflict separations and low conflict separations. And might sound like a lot, but I can tell you, if you use this and set yourself and your family up for success, it'll be a lot cheaper than therapy later. So after watching this and participating in this course, and you may find that your partner won't do it, isn't interested, it's not the kind of way they like to approach this, it's okay. Just one of you can do it.
Great.
Better if two, but if just one of you, that's fine too, because you can still put everything in place and you can talk to your partner about the things that you need to put in place.
Okay.
So this is a this course helped to give, it's based on behavioral science and a doctor leads it, and it is designed for children to meet children at whatever age they're at. So I kind of plug in what age my child is, two children are, and it talks about the messages that child needs to hear when you're telling them that you are separating or divorcing.
Right. That's great.
So I put a bit of a script together for my partner and I, and we agreed on these messages. And I can share just a couple of them. Things like, this is not your fault. There is absolutely nothing you could have done to change this. Sometimes adults don't get along and can't stay together. Both your parents love you very much, and this will never change. Parents never stop loving their children. Those kind of messages. And that's just, you know, there were many more.
And then,
you know, at certain ages, it was important to give a broad plan about what happens next so that they don't leave that discussion wondering. So we would, so the next part of our script was letting them know that we're going to stay together in the house until we sell the house. We're going to sell the house in June and da-da-da. And then we're going to each move to apartments and which will be near to each other and near to the school. Mm. We'll let you decorate your rooms. And which actually for one of my children just turned it all around.
Yeah,
for her.
That was important.
I mean,
yeah.
Such a small thing.
Well, it's their sort of safe place,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, yeah, that's right.
That's good.
And then letting them know what will happen with the arrangements when they will see each parent.
Yes,
so you do need
right.
to kind of do a bit of mapping out before this conversation if you can. And again, remembering some people don't have this opportunity.
Yeah.
But so I would say I will have the children Monday to Friday and or Monday to Thursday
yeah.
and your dad will – you'll be with your dad on the other days, et cetera.
Yeah.
So that was incredibly helpful for them. Again, it was – it nearly killed me to have that conversation and
yeah,
and – but we had a lot of support. So we the other thing I did was to try and set the girls up for success by doing two things. And,
right.
and this was about having a supportive network around the children.
Yeah, great.
The first thing was that I asked for a coffee meeting with the three mums of their three best friends.
Okay.
So my youngest girl's three best friends' mums and my eldest. So I had a coffee with them and it was the day before I was telling the children.
Okay.
And I told them what was going to happen tomorrow.
Okay.
And I gave them the key messages.
Right.
And that was to equip them should their children come home with questions.
Yeah, great.
Should the girls talk about it at school? Mm. I also spoke with the teachers and also my mum, their grandma, and my sisters. And I gave them all the messaging that we gave the kids, but also some extra messaging on top of that in terms of if the girls came to them with questions, additional ways that they could talk about it.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Really good.
And I think that helped and it was interesting actually because one of my children didn't actually tell anyone till the end of term.
Right.
And this was kind of midway through the term.
Yeah.
And one of the parents said, I've been checking in with her son.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, she's fine. And it wasn't till the last day of the term that she told them. And that was her own coping mechanism.
Yeah, totally.
But it was interesting for me to understand how she was processing it in that time.
Yes. Almost good as well that you knew she wasn't talking about it. If that needed to be something you pushed into
or,
you know, like just to even know, because sometimes it's so unknown how the children are grieving.
Yeah.
But the fact you had that support even telling you your child's not talking about it, you know, so you were aware maybe that's, you know, something for you to just keep an eye on or, you know, like how helpful just to have
it was.
Eyes and ears as well supporting you in this situation.
And I think that was an unexpected outcome but a really great outcome in terms of eyes and ears, as you say.
Yeah, beautiful.
And the other thing that we did, slightly controversial at the time, was that we had a farewell party to Lucinda Avenue. So that's the house we'd lived in all the time.
Okay, right.
And I need to be very clear to say that this is not a divorce party. This was a very intentional opportunity to bring our friends together for them to hear the messages that we wanted to share with them and for our children to see that they had still this beautiful support network of friends around them.
Yeah, wow. Was your ex-partner at the party as well?
Yep, our mixed friends, all there together and we were selling the house, so it was a farewell to the house and so we shared with our friends that obviously they all knew about it, but that we're okay, that my ex-partner and I are okay and the girls are okay. And they never needed to feel like they had to choose between us.
Yeah,
you know, if you've got a party and you invite one and not the other, it's totally fine. If you want to invite both, it's totally fine. Mm. We're good.
Yeah, that's great.
And also, we ask of you, our friends, that you will always build the other parent up in your conversations with our children. Mm. And that was really key and critical.
Yeah, it's powerful.
And
did they?
Yeah.
Had they stuck to it?
Yeah, they have. They're really great. And that's also, that's on my ex-partner and I as well, i.e. we won't enter into a conversation that not positive about the other person. And it doesn't mean that it's this totally inauthentic thing and they're not frustrations. But when there are frustrations, we speak with each other.
Yeah,
very good. And not with anyone else. And that's been really good.
Yeah, wow, that's incredible. It's very mature.
Yes, I know. Much more mature than I've ever been in my life, really.
It's very mature. I love it. How have you kept that open communication with your ex-partner? Has that been difficult? Are there times where you're wanting to communicate and you can't, or, you know, how have you sort of kept that open dialogue going?
Yeah, I mean, now it's just the way we communicate, and we don't, it's not like we have big, you know, deep conversations anymore. We don't.
Sure.
It's mostly about logistics and, the children and those kind of things.
Yes.
But, you know, we are sometimes at school events together and we'll often sit together and, you know, have a bit of a laugh at those events, you know. And that's really nice. I really appreciate that we can still do that. And at birthday parties.
Yes.
So it's also not taking yourself too seriously as well. So at birthday parties, for example, the first one that we attended after both my ex-partner and I had repartnered.
Okay.
So we were there with our new partners.
Yes, right.
And at this birthday party, and I have a reputation for losing phones. And at this, we were sitting there having dinner. Well, you know, the kids were all on one table and so the four of us were on another table.
Right.
And I must have lost my phone at this point and said, oh, does anyone know where my phone is? And my ex-partner looked at my current partner and laughed and went, not my problem anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just not taking yourself too seriously and having a bit of a laugh.
It's nice you've got to that point you can have a laugh, you know.
Yeah, that's right. And it's all because, well, you know, there's a question I now ask myself often after the failure of a marriage, and it is, how can I be wrong about this? And, you know, when you're going through a relationship breakdown, often you can see all the things that are wrong on one side, and it's harder to see what's wrong on your side. Mm. And when you move into a new relationship, sometimes you bring some of those bad habits and things that destroyed your first relationship into your second relationship.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's not what this podcast's about, but the one thing I have learned is that we were both equally responsible for our marriage breakdown.
Yeah, right.
And we are both equally responsible for how we communicate now and work through that. And that posture of not always needing to be right, how can I be wrong, is helpful.
Yeah.
And actually, how can I be wrong about this is a really hard question sometimes.
Yeah,
and
humbling,
I hate asking it to
myself.
Yeah, yeah. But it does help you reposition.
Yeah, it's really good. Mm. I love that. Mm. I'd love to ask you a question. Mm. How did you navigate your own grief going through divorce as well as trying to be strong for your children? I think, you know, as I walked through divorce as an older teen of my parents, sorry, not my own divorce, you know, I could see my mum grieving but then also trying to be strong for us children. Mm. How did you navigate that?
Mm. It's a great question. The first thing I will say is our relationship broke down over many years, and so both of our grief was probably a long time before we actually split up.
Yes, right. Okay.
And it wasn't that anybody did one thing particularly wrong. It's just that together we could not build this relationship. And, we went through many, many sets of counselling to try and fix the situation. Mm. And over time that grieving process, happened quite slowly.
Yeah, okay.
However, I do remember when the divorce came through, someone said, is it champagne tonight? The divorce is through.
Yeah.
And, I'm emotional about it now, this is the end of a dream.
Yeah,
and
totally.
There's nothing to celebrate here. And I wish we could have fixed it. And but now all I can do is focus on how we move forward together as a different looking family.
Yes, right. Yeah. So just kept your focus on the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
And we're both in very happy relationships now. Mm. I've remarried to a wonderful man. And my ex-partner has a beautiful partner also.
Great.
That's a great thing. We've been able to move forward.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. So let's talk about introducing new partners. This can be complex, I'm sure. Mm. How have you navigated that element of it?
Mm.
Obviously, that's another layer adding to divorce and children, and now there's new partners involved. How have you kept that mutual respect and boundaries, I'm sure, as well as trying to parent your children together?
Yes. Again, this is where generosity of spirit comes through, and also taking a deliberate position of being difficult to offend in this area.
Right.
Here's an example.
Yes.
So on Sunday afternoons when I was together with my ex-partner, we would go on Sunday afternoons with the children to play tennis.
Right.
Bit of fun. Yeah. My two daughters are very good tennis players and my ex-partner is an exceptional tennis player and runs a tennis coaching business.
Right.
And so it was well known and much laughed about in the family that I was the worst player in the family.
They always throw mum under the bus.
I know.
You probably were.
I know. Well, no, I truly was.
Okay.
And which is even funnier because I desperately would have loved to have played at Wimbledon. I always thought if I could have any other career, that would be it.
So good.
Unfortunately, I have no talent, and so that's not Shame. Actually on the cards. Anyway, so then they had said to me, "Oh, Mum, on the weekend we went and played tennis with Dad's new partner."
Right.
And I said, "Ah, is she good at tennis?"
Yeah.
And they both looked me straight in the eye and went, "Mum, she's so much better than you."
Oh, nice in that.
We just fell about laughing because,
I love it. Yeah.
Yes, she probably was. Actually, she is. She's amazing. and it was just taking that position of being impossible to offend on this.
So good.
And in our situation, my daughters spend a fair chunk of time with my ex-partner's new partner. And again, it's about recognizing that a different person actually can offer different perspectives to your children. Okay. Be confident in your own parenting.
Yeah, good. I love
and
that.
Stand strong in
Great.
That and then embrace what someone else can bring to that
right.
situation. And so now our children have four very significant adults in their lives who all bring something different. Mum will always be mum. Dad will always be dad.
That's good.
But, when you can't talk to mum or dad for whatever reason, there's also someone great that they can talk to.
Great.
And, I guess that position of respect and being difficult to offend is important.
Yeah, it's so good. It's really helpful. Mm. Well, just as we're finishing up, anything else, anything that's been helpful to you in navigating this journey you'd like to share with everyone listening today?
Yeah, I think I would say for most separations and divorces that we see, we're used to it being difficult. Mm. And it's almost expected that you're going to go into this situation and it's going to be hard. There's going to be harsh words. And I'm not saying that ours was smooth sailing. It absolutely wasn't. And at times we have both really frustrated each other.
Yeah, sure.
But I can't stress enough the importance of putting the kids at the center and not letting your relationship breakdown affect what the future is going to be for your kids. And so that it actually takes self-discipline, self-leadership. And even if you're the only one doing it, which fortunately is not the case for me, but if you're the only one taking that position, it's going to be better than neither of you taking that position. So I just really encourage people that it's possible to support your children in a way that's different from what you often see, you know, out there right now, and make your own way as you do that.
It's really great. It's so encouraging because you're right, I do think there's probably a bad stigma on it, that it is going to be terrible and traumatizing, but the fact that you can do it well as you can is really encouraging. So thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for being just so courageous and we really value your input today. I'm sure it's going to help a lot of people.
You're so welcome.